Rank is our Denver 7 Bronco Insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Chad Anderson for Stink, who's off with family in Alaska right now. Troy, good morning. Let's jump right into it. This the Rob Walton purchasing land. What does your reporting tell you? Did he specifically buy it, and is it a tip off that he's going to be buying the team?
Yeah, I can't answer that first question about whether he specifically bought it. I know he's extremely interested in the Broncos. He was in for a visit last week. He's been considered the favorite since he was, you know, known to be interested because of his wealth. If the bidding gets to, you know, $4.5-5 billion, I don't know that anyone could outbid him. You know, Byron Allen has remained interested. Todd Boehly, who's just purchased Chelsea Football Club, I don't know that he could put a, you know, more money together to have a similar purchase of the Broncos. Maybe he could, but that would be difficult. Josh Harris is certainly a strong candidate who helps own, you know, partner in owning the Sixers and Devils. But listen, if Walton wants the Broncos, it's his team for me because of the fiduciary responsibility to take the highest bid. That can never be discounted in this. The way the trust is set up and the legal language of it, it's the highest bid. It's not who the NFL wants. I mean, obviously the NFL will be involved to some degree, but if Rob Walton wants it, I don't know how anyone else could outbid him, frankly.
Troy, I think it's a great situation for the NFL. I think the owners will love to have him in their club. I think a new stadium will be part of the deal. It'll be a contingency of it. And I think the NFL will love the entire package if Robson Walton is the owner. But how long will it take, or what will be the indicators that we would know over time that it's definitely going to be good or not good for the Broncos?
Well, that's a great question, because just money doesn't make you a great owner. We've seen that. I would say, frankly, in my 30 years of covering professional sports, there's not a lot of great sports owners. That's what made Pat Boland so unique. He had the financial wherewithal. He wasn't beyond wealthy, but he had the financial wherewithal. He was obsessed with winning, yet he didn't meddle. Most guys who are crazy rich and obsessed with winning meddle and suddenly think they're the coach, the GM, and the owner. As you see in Dallas, and Jerry Jones is a great businessman. He's not a great owner in terms of winning because he gets in the way. So how would we know? For me, Pat Boland is the blueprint. You will love it. You obsess over it. But you don't pretend that you are the football guy. You hire people, put them in charge, and then hold them accountable to a very high standard. And you give them the resources to succeed. And that's what I would want from an owner. Now, there's a lot of bad owners. I mean, I could pick 15 bad owners in baseball and probably 10 and 12 in football right off the top of my head. So just because a person has money doesn't make him a great sports owner. But he would have an example in Kroenke, the stupid TV issues in Denver notwithstanding, where he gives the Rams all the resources to succeed and puts people in position to make the decision. That is a very good ownership situation the Rams have with Kroenke. Could Walton do that in Denver? I mean, hopefully.
The part of you that's been covering sports for a long time, how does it react when Nathaniel Hackett's out there running sprints with his players?
Yeah, listen, it's a different time. I coached my own sons for 15 years, and I can just tell you this, Mike, you have a son who's played competitive sports now for several years. Kids engage differently now than they did years ago. I joke that, you know, if I was on life support, my kids would unplug it to charge their phone. Like, that's the life we live now. That's who the society is YouTube generation. So you have to relate to them differently. You bring some energy. And Hackett is a dynamic presenter. He has endless amounts of energy. But then, eventually, he's going to have to prove it on game day. That's where you get evaluated as a coach. Everything during the week is fantastic. The energy's been great. The players have responded to it. But it only plays out long-term if you win and you can make quick decisions and you can call the right timeouts and you can get the play. I mean, all that is, that's coaching on game day. That's a completely separate issue from the guy we see at practice. But I love it. I'm not going to lie. I love coaches with energy. I love playing with coaches for energy. I tried to coach the teams I coach with kids with energy, because when they know you care about them, they care way more, and I think you realize their potential. But I love it. We got to see it. We got to see it on game day at the professional level.
Troy Evans called it the honeymoon phase right now, right? We've got the draft picks in, and Hackett's all smiles, and everybody loves Russell Wilson's, you know, his passion and his preparation. Am I out of line to say that the coaching staff is my biggest concern, considering the schedule they're facing and the division they're going to be playing in? This is by far the most inexperienced coaching staff.
Yeah, listen, they've leaned completely into energy, innovation, trust, connectivity. That's how he's built his staff. So they're all in line with it. But, Chad, you're right. And I've said this about people. Like, I love the fact they're playing Seattle on Monday night on Denver 7. That's great. But these are hard games for Nathaniel Hackett. He's in this position for the first time. Coach Ivorose in this position as DC for the first time. Justin Outen's in this position as OC for the first time. Dwayne Stukes, their special teams coordinator, is in that position for the first time. So they have to show it. And there's going to be some clunky moments. We can't expect them to be perfect. I mean, Fangio had been coaching, felt like 50 years, and he obviously had real issues as a head coach multiple times, especially with timeouts. So there's going to be moments where you're like, oh, Hackett's never done this before. But what I will say, as you know, in juxtaposition of the previous staff that had all this experience, when you connect with players and you relate well better to them, I do think that does translate on game day, because the attention to the detail is better because the presentations have linked them together during the week, and that helps you get through the growing pains. But, Chad, it's a fair concern, and they have got to, for me, get off to a fast start. 6-2, 7-1 those first eight games. Because if they don't, that gauntlet at the end will be, you know, that's a terrifying gauntlet at the end. If you somehow go 5-3 over the first eight, it puts you in a really difficult position to have to win tough games, including games on the road.
Visitor Troy Rank, speaking of terrifying, for an Avalanche team that struggled to get past the second round, is St. Louis the last team you want to face in the second round?
I mean, no, there should be no team that they're scared of. But I will say this. When this thing kept going on where we don't know when they were going to play and they're idle, I'm not going to lie and say it didn't bring back memories of the Rockies when I covered them in 07. They were idle for 9 days before they played the Red Sox. And I'm not sure they would have beaten the Red Sox. There's no way in hell they would have gotten swept if they had played in had a four-day absence or been idle 3 days. By being idle 9 days, they were so rusty, because you're never off in baseball more than 3 days. Over the course of 185, to be off nine, they just stood no chance. Now, hockey's a little different. It's physical. You know, there's a stamina issue, but they can benefit from some of the rest. But would I be shocked if they were a little rusty? I wouldn't. But to me, I don't want to hear it. No excuses. There's no excuses for this team not to advance past the second round. St. Louis is dangerous. They're deeper. You got to keep them off the power play, no doubt. But I don't want to hear it. This Avs team is built to win right now.
Okay. I like it. I think they will. Avs in six for me. Troy, thank you very much.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.